So, welcome and good morning, everybody. Welcome to those of you who are online. Welcome to those of you who are here in church this morning. I'm Claire, and we're going to be thinking today about silence, simplicity, and solitude. So let's use this morning in a way that really works for you. Some of you might love silence, and when we're quiet, you might think it's the best thing we've ever done. Some of you might find it quite difficult. Just see what happens when you try out some silence. It's not going to be silence for the whole hour. It's all right, hour and quarter. You're perfectly safe here. But a really warm welcome to you. As we sit and still ourselves, let's just be quiet before God. Jesus welcomes everyone to God's table. Are you ready to meet God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? We're ready. Wow. Just put down in your mind whatever it is that's bothering you that you arrived with this morning. Or whatever it is that you left home with this morning in a bit of a flap about. Just put it down for the length of the service. You can pick it back up if you want to or if you need to at the end. But for now, just put it down as we still ourselves before God. I'm going to read a poem to help us arrive still. Be silent. Be still. Alone. Empty before your God. Say nothing. Ask nothing. Be silent. Be still. Let God look upon you. That is all. God knows. God understands. God loves you with an enormous love. And only wants to look upon you with that love. Quiet. Still. Be. Let your God love you. So we're going to move on by singing that song, God's Love is the Best Love. And I just invite you to gently move into it from the silence. And there'll be plenty of silence as we go through the service. So if anyone would like to come and help me do the actions, I would be super grateful. Good, thank you. It's you and me then. Have you come? Anyone else want to help us do the actions? So we're going to stand and sing, God's love is the best love. Thank you.
Oh, we're getting a few more.
Thank you.
we're just going to do the actions. So listen to the music and do all the actions. And...
We did it. Well done. Come back. I want some people to tell me what they think about noise. Who likes noise? Do you like noise? So where are the noisy places in your house?
My bedroom.
Your bedroom? So what do you do to make noise?
I throw my toys everywhere.
They must be very noisy toys. Noisy, quiet, what do you like?
Quiet.
Quiet. So where's your favourite place to be quiet?
My bedroom.
Your bedroom. I think there are some mums who might want to have a temporary swap. So what do you do when you're quiet?
I read a book.
Do you? What are you reading at the moment?
Sinclair's, I think.
Oh, I love those books. Oh, yes. You might have to lend them to me so I can have a little bit of a go back in time. So, quiet or noisy? What's your favourite?
I don't know.
You don't know. You want to be quiet right now, don't you? And I'm going to let you be because being quiet and being noisy is important, isn't it? Whatever we do. Jesus went into the wilderness. Says she looking in her pocket. Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days, and that's one of the things, thank you, that happened. You can sit down now if you like, or you can stay here if you like. It's up to you. Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days, and there was a lot of silence, and this is a picture of the wilderness. So every so often I go for a long walk, and one of the long walks I did was to walk across the Sinai Desert. And one of the things about the desert is there's a complete absence of sound. It is a very extraordinary place to be. So if we all were absolutely silent now, which we can't be because there's a lot of people and our breathing on its own will make a noise. Anywhere you go in Malvern, even on the hills on your own, when you're silent, there's still sound. Because you can hear the birds, you can tune in to all sorts of lovely noises in the background. In the desert, when there's no sound, there's a complete absence of sound. And some of us love being on our own. And some of us hate being on our own. But the reason I've shared with you this picture of the desert is that when I started walking across the wilderness, there was nothing apart from rock, mountains, and sand. And then one day, there was a sandstorm for about 3 or 4 minutes. Don't get stuck in a sandstorm because it's like having your body grated. But there was a sandstorm and it had rain in it. And the sandstorm was so bad, we had to put things over our heads so that we didn't get it in our eyes. And when we took it down, the wilderness had gone green. How amazing is that? None of those plants were there. And those plants were like this big. They weren't there. When the water came down, there they were. And I wanted to share that with you this morning because there's something about silence and solitude that sometimes we can think, for those of us whose preference is for noise, she's gone. Those of us whose preference is for noise, that's you, isn't it? Sometimes we can think, actually, if I was quiet, it wouldn't be great. But actually, sometimes the most extraordinary things can come out of the silence. That's why I wanted to share this picture with you. So thank you for my helpers. And do share that book with me, because I would so love to read it again, because I don't think, how old are you?
Eight.
I don't think I've probably read it since I was 9. So if you want to lend it to me, I'd like that very much. Thank you for helping. Let's just pray for the children as they prepare to leave us. Lord, we thank you for the children. We thank you for the children who love noise. And we thank you for the children who love quiet. And we pray for them and for their leaders as they go out now to learn more about you in their own way. And we pray for ourselves now as we sit here and spend time with you and discern what you have to say to us this morning. Thank you for the children, thank you for the leaders, and thank you for the things that we're going to learn in here. Amen. So, kids, off you go. As they're leaving, I'm just going to share with you a few notices. Can I just tell you, when I saw the notices this morning, it did make me laugh. So if silence is your preference, you might want to come to the waiting room at All Saints on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. But actually, if silence isn't your preference, it might also be a great thing to do. And then if noise is your preference, there's Messy Church on Wednesday at 3:30 at All Saints. But again, if you want to try something different, if you're a certain age, what's the age thing? Oh, anybody. Anybody who wants to be noisy, Thursday the 16th of March, 3:30. So, we're going to sit and confess our sins to God now, and we're going to do it in a way which doesn't use many words. So we're going to use the Jesus Prayer. The Jesus Prayer is an ancient prayer, and it says, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It might be that when we say that together once, you just want to stay in silence. It might be that in your mind, you want to repeat it as you think about the things that you want to confess to God this morning. And when we get to the end of the silence, which you can use silently or you can use by repeating that prayer in your head, I will come in quietly and say it one more time so that you don't get shocked. So let's just be quiet and think about the things that we've done this week or said for which we're sorry. And let's say once together, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Let's say it together. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. May the God of love and power forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. Just going to say a prayer from the Church of England prayer book, which I think really speaks to us today. Eternal God, give us insight to discern your will for us, to give up what harms us, and to seek the perfection we are promised in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So gently and slowly, and in a way that works for you, we're going to worship God together. Stay seated if that works for you. Stand if that's better for you. Silence as we sense what God is saying to us this morning. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Please sit down. And Pauline's going to read God's word to us, and then Ellie is going to do the intercessions.
The two readings, the first reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34, and can be found on page 917 of the Church Bibles. Do not worry. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow, and they do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The second reading is from Mark chapter 1, verses 35 to 39, and is page 1003 of the Church Bible. Jesus prays in a solitary place. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. When they found him, they explained, "Everyone's looking for you." And Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he travelled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Sticking with the theme of the service, we're going to incorporate silence and simplicity into our prayers. So I'll leave a space for you to add your own prayers and reflections to God. Lord, as we look at the world today, there is a lot of hurt and brokenness, and we pray for those affected by the shootings in Hamburg this week. We ask for your healing and your peace over the victims and their families. We pray for Ukraine as they continue to fight for peace in their land. And we ask for you to perform miracles in that place and for peace. And we pray for the political situation in our own country and ask for those making decisions that they would do so with your guidance. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we thank you for how you're moving in this church. We thank you for the wonderful work of the Bereavement Cafe, of CAP, and of the Octagon Ministries. And we just pray for our youth and our young people. We just pray that they would know you in their classes this morning, and they would know you as they go through the week. And we pray for the upcoming trip to the Gaines with our older youth. We pray that this would be a real time of just growing in unity together, and that they would come away from it just knowing more of who you are in their lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Father, we ask that you would be with us this morning, that you would be showing us how you want to move in our lives and how we can use silence and simplicity to just further our relationship with you. And as we go away from this morning, we pray that you would be with us throughout the week, that you would show us how to learn more about you, how to live more in relationship with you, and how to share more of you with others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Good morning. It's really lovely to be here. This is another sermon I hadn't planned to preach, but Joe Vickery, deciding when he saw I'd put him down for this, decided to go to the Dominican Republic for 2 weeks' holiday. But actually, I'm delighted to speak on this, and you know, I think this was God's plan from the start. We're in the middle of a series called Holy Habits. And this series is about us just developing habits which help us to become more like Jesus. And we started off by looking at meditating on scripture. Last week we looked at fasting, and we've been trying to give out a few different resources to people to help them, to help you, to help us all to do some of this stuff. If you weren't here last week, there's two cards which you can pick out. A pink one, which is about Lent fasting and reviewing your day, and a blue one, which is the St. Andrew's and All Saints prayer and stuff to pray for people on the other side. And I've been really delighted this week to hear several stories, lots of stories, of people who have been putting this into practice. And I thought you needed to hear a story too this morning. So a very dodgy cameraman called me went to the Hope's house on Friday. And I'm just going to play you a little bit of a video I took, because I was just so inspired by hearing what they are doing each evening. So enjoy.
Right, at 10 o'clock, we turn the telly off, and we all sit together, Ian as well, and we go and read a passage that connects us to God and asks him what he would like us to pick out of the passage that we're going to read, which is one of the things on the meditation during Lent. We read this passage through when we've prayed about it. I read it through once and very slowly so Ian can pick up things up out of it for himself. And then we are quiet again, and then Chris will read it. And then we just listen then for God to tell us what passage he wants us to pick out. Ian's very good, really. Although he can't read, he will pick out little words that he's picked up out the passage. And so then I try to find the few words that he's remembered and pick it out the passage. And then we just meditate on those few words for a while. And then at the end, when we've done that, I write down what I've picked out of the passage into a little book here, which we keep. And one's got Ian's name on the page and one's got mine. And then we write it all down and see what we've picked out. So we've been doing it now for a fortnight nearly. And we've got quite a few verses in here to meditate on. And when we've finished it all, we can look back and see what God's trying to tell us in that in those passages. So that's part of what we do. Would you like to tell them what we do next, Chris?
Yeah, I got a different Bible to what Norma's got, and I used the one that was given to me by the church, and it's the Good News Bible, and so then my versions are different to what their versions are, and so we get a variance of the way the story's being told, and sometimes Ian will pick up out of that and sometimes we do not. We tend to find that we can distinguish which area that we're going to look at, and then we spend some time. That's about right. And then we build it all into the St. Andrew's Prayer. And we use this to guide us, especially about the young people that both Norma and I are praying for. And when we're talking about that, we will include their names. We will then start to use the words that are still on this card. And we will then work our way down through to the communities, where we often talk about our neighbours or an octagon.
All of them.
Or our friends, yeah.
And then we do say, Ian always likes to say a little prayer at the end when we finish doing the prayers that we've got on here. He always likes to say a prayer. So he says his prayer, don't we? Yeah. And then at night, before, when Ian goes to bed, I always read a prayer to him out of the, what's the corner?
Everyday Faith.
Everyday Faith. And it's always the nighttime one. And he says it just makes him so calm, doesn't it, Ian?
Yeah.
Is that one?
Yes, that one.
Before the ending of the day, Creator of the world, we pray that you, with steadfast love, will keep your watch around us while we sleep. From evil dreams, defend our sight, from fears and terrors of the night. Tread underfoot our deadly foe, that we no sinful thought will know. Our Father, that we ask be done, through Jesus Christ, your only Son, and Holy Spirit, by whose breath our souls are raised from life to death. Amen.
Isn't that brilliant? They've just taken just some of the things that we've been doing and made it their own. And I love the way that they're actually using this prayer, the St. Angelo Saints prayer, and praying for the young people by name that we suggested. That I know that Norma and Chris just got in touch with Liz in the office and said, give us two names of young people that we can commit to pray for each. And they do that and name the places in the communities. It's lovely. I thought that was the end. But when I'd stopped videoing, they then said they then get the pink card and they do the reviewing your day. And then at 2 o'clock in the morning, they go to bed. No. But thank you, guys. It's really good to share, isn't it, what we do and how we can do it together as households and learn from each other. So do talk to Ian and Chris and Norma and just share with them at the end. Let me pray. Lord, meet us in these words and meet us in the silence and transform us to be more like you, we pray. Amen. Allow me just to close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to imagine the day that Jesus had. It's only been a few days since he came back from his 40 days in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. And on this Sabbath day, he gets up early to go to the local synagogue in Capernaum. And there he spends a couple of hours right in their midst with people crowding around him, teaching those who had gathered to hear him. And then in the middle of his teaching, you know, while he's in full flow, a demon-possessed man storms in and dramatically interrupts him and cries out to him, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" And with authority and power, Jesus calls out the evil spirit from the man. "Be quiet. Come out of him." Jesus feels some of his strength and power drain from him as he does so. And the man shrieks and shakes violently as the demon departs and the man leaves transformed and free. Suddenly, news of this deliverance spreads throughout the local area. Something remarkable has happened, people say. And Jesus leaves the synagogue with some of his disciples, heading to Simon and Andrew's house for lunch, where he finds Simon's mother-in-law very ill. He immediately goes up to her, calls out the fever from her, gives her his hand and helps her up, completely healed. Jesus feels a little bit more strength and power drain from him. And word continues to spread. He's healed Peter's mother-in-law, everyone says. And so after sunset, the whole town starts to gather outside the house. They're desperate to get into the house to see this miracle worker, bringing the sick, the blind, the lame, the demon-possessed, banging on the door, trying to get in. And one by one, Jesus heals them all and drives out the demons. And the town is transformed. And Jesus feels more strength and power drain out of him. It's late in the evening now. And Jesus is exhausted, both physically, emotionally, and spiritually. It's been a full-on day, one of his earliest days of ministry, maybe even his first day of healings. And he heads off to bed. Just come out of that place. That was Jesus' day. And after that, you'd have forgiven him for having a well-earned rest and a lie-in the next morning, wouldn't you? It's what I'd have done. It's what I did Monday morning after a busy Sunday last week. I went to a lovely new retreat place I found. I went in there. I was there for 45 minutes and I thought, I'm tired. And I lay down on the bed next door and I fell asleep for 2 hours. But that isn't what Jesus does. Far from having a lie-in, we read in Mark 1:35, very early the next morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. You see, Jesus' first response after a busy and dramatic day was to head off to a solitary place, away from everything and anyone, to be with his Father. And of course, this wasn't the only time that Jesus did this, was it? You know, it was his reoccurring pattern, his secret weapon, his most vital component of his ministry, solitude and prayer. Time and time again, we read in the Gospels how he went off to a solitary place to pray. Right at the start of his ministry, after his baptism, those 40 days in the wilderness, alone, fasting in prayer. He withdrew before making key decisions, before choosing his disciples. He withdrew after significant ministry times. He withdrew just before his arrest and his death. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is described 9 times as going to his quiet place to pray. Solitude and prayer was a foundation of his ministry. So what was going on? What was it all about? Why was it so important for Jesus, who after all was God in human form? Why was it so important for him? And why might it be so important for us? Well, grab your Bibles and let's look and see what happens in Mark chapter 1. What's the next bit of the story? You see, the next morning, what we see is that there's clearly a buzz around town and in the local villages. You know, news had spread like wildfire. Something was stirring. Something amazing was happening. The miracle worker was transforming lives. And the disciples who, you know, I bet they had a lie-in in the morning. And I bet they were woken up by people banging on their door, saying, "Where is he? Where is he?" And they woke up to find Jesus gone. And they searched high and low for him. And when they find him out on the hillside, eventually they tell him the news. Everyone is looking for you. Or perhaps this, you might prefer John Mark Comer's paraphrase of this. "Hey Jesus, where have you been? You were amazing yesterday. Word's out. Vogue is coming for an interview. Sky News is hiding outside Peter's house. Hashtag Jesus is trending. We need you back post haste." You see, that's what it was like. You see, the world was clamoring to get a bit of Jesus. The people were queuing up for Jesus to meet their needs, for him to perform more miracles, for him to heal the sick, to give sight to the blind, to cast out more demons. There were clamoring voices all around him. Everyone is looking for you. And it would have been so easy, wouldn't it, for Jesus to have submitted to those clamoring voices, to see the real needs all around him and without hesitation to do what those voices were crying out for him to do. But Jesus resists. Jesus, because he's been in that solitary place, listens to the voice of his Father. This is the voice of Father God, not the voice of the clamoring people. And he says this. He said, "Let's go somewhere else, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Now let's just reflect on that for a moment, because I think this is really significant. Do you see what Jesus does here? He leaves people's needs unmet. Why? Because he's got a bigger calling. He walks away and leaves people disappointed. Because in the place of solitude, he has been reminded of his true calling and mission. And that, I think, is really profound. And I want to say to those of us here, and I know there are some of you, and I can name you. There are some of us here who feel a burden to fix every need, don't we? And meet every cry for help from people around us. Well, if that's you, I want you to get a pen out. You can do it on the church Bibles, actually. or certainly go and do your own Bible. And I want you to get a pen out and underline verse 38 and write this next to it. Jesus did not meet every need. In fact, turn to John 17, verse 4, where Jesus, on the night before he died, says these amazing words to his Father. He says, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. You know, he says, I've done what you've called me to do, nothing more and nothing less. He could confidently say, I finished the work I've been called to do, knowing that he'd left people unhealed and disappointed. I think that's profound. And why could he say this so confidently? Because he intentionally went to solitary places to pray so that he could be realigned with his vision and purpose. He regularly took out time away alone to pray so that he could listen to his Father's voice above the clamor of the people's cries and needs, and not be distracted in his calling and mission. He deliberately retreated to the company of his Father, far from the noise and praise and criticism alike, to be still and listen to the still small whisper of the Spirit. And in that place, I'm sure he heard time and time again those words that he'd heard at his baptism. You are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. You see, in those places again, I'm sure he once again, time and time again, had his core identity affirmed as God's precious son. And it was that, knowing his true identity, I think, which enabled him to resist the subtle arrows of the devil, which could either try and puff him up and seek his own popularity and power, or discourage him and lead him into temptation and people-pleasing. The secret solitary place was what fueled his whole ministry. It was what kept him grounded, kept him focused, kept him in submission to his Father. So what can we learn from Jesus' example? You know, if Jesus needed to withdraw to solitary places, how much more do we need to? Whether we're an introvert or an extrovert, whether we like noise or like quiet. Because in that place, several things happen. We rediscover our true identity as a precious and well-loved child of God. And I want to just say, if there's anybody here who doesn't yet know Jesus, who's not on this journey of faith, I want you to know that's the most amazing and most important thing. And I want to say, Jesus wants to say to you here today, he loves you. And he knows you, and he wants to be part of your life. He wants you to know your true identity that is so much bigger than, better than anything the world will try and give you. We rediscover our true identity. But also I think it's a place to receive afresh the love of God. You know, it's that safe place where we're reminded again that we're deeply loved by God. Deeply loved, precious child of God's. It's that place where we reconnect with the God who longs to refresh and re-energize us. John Mark Comer again says this, solitude is where you set aside time to feed and water and nourish your soul. It's the place where we're refreshed, where we're re-energized. And in solitude, we're not alone. It's not the same as loneliness. It's actually where most of us feel actually most connection with God. It's the place where we're realigned with our God-given calling, just as Jesus was. It's the place where, again, God shows us, says, you're being distracted by doing that stuff. I'm calling you to be here, and you're being a people pleaser over here. It's the place where we're called to be receptive, where we can be receptive to the whisper of God again. John Mark Comer, the noise of the modern world makes us deaf to the voice of God, drowning out the one input we most need. The place of solitude is the place where we can hear afresh the one input we most need. I was walking over to church this morning, and I suddenly connected this with what I'm about to do. I can't believe that actually I've written a sermon this week on this and not realised how personally connected this is with me. Because in 5 weeks' time, I'm heading off to that quiet place of sabbatical for 3 months. And if you want to know what you can pray for me, that's it. That's what I'd love you to pray for me. Particularly when I'm driving around the north of Scotland in Helen's camper van. On my own. Me, God, and the camper van. Camping on our own. Driving around the beaches of Harris and Lewis. Sky. Climbing mountains. I'll stop. But actually, that's what I want you to pray for me. Because that's what this is, what I'm doing. Is I'm going away to be realigned, to rediscover my true identity, to reconnect with the God who longs to refresh and re-energize me, to be receptive to his whisper of God again, to hear the new direction for this church in this next season. That's actually what my sabbatical is about. So please pray for that. Tyler Stratton in his great book that I keep calling Praying Like Fools, Living Like Monks, but it's really Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools, says this: stillness is the quiet space where God migrates from the periphery back to the center. And prayer pours forth from the life that has God at the center. Silence, solitude, and silence too is the furnace of transformation, Henri Nouwen says. It's the place where God does his deepest work in us. So how do we do it, friends? How do we go and do this? Well, I want to say, here are some lessons from Jesus. First of all, be intentional. You know, Jesus was intentional about his own practice of stillness and solitude. And it's in the seasons of busyness that we need even more to go and find that quiet place, just as Jesus did. Even though the demands of life want to do everything to squeeze that out of us. I know from my own experience that the more I spend in the busy times, in the quiet place, the more efficient I work. It's the mystery of God. When we're busiest, we need to spend more time in that quiet place. What might that look like? Well, I think it's about having a daily rhythm, first of all. Maybe 20 minutes, you know, of just dwelling with God in scripture and prayer. You know, the Lectio course has been brilliant from the week one that I've done so far. I think that's teaching us what this looks like. Or maybe actually it's just about finding a candle and sitting with a candle in silence before God and allowing God to say in that silence whatever he wants to say, or just be with him. You know, I'm getting into a really good groove of dog walking Rolo in the mornings, walking around, just being with God as I walk with no agenda. And then I come to church and I sit on the bench outside the fence and I stick on the new app that I've been using called Inner Room. And there's a lovely morning prayer using the Lord's Prayer, which I say and I listen to as I look up to the hills and as I realize how much bigger God is than I am. It's an amazing practice that's nourishing my soul. But actually, I think as a monthly rhythm too, I want to encourage you to have perhaps once a month having more extended time to reflect, a couple of hours away somewhere, maybe time to take stock and listen for a more extended period of time. You know, I think the gift of the waiting room, go along if you've never been on Wednesday, an hour of mainly silence is a great opportunity to do that. But also an annual rhythm, maybe taking half a day or a day a year just to have more extended time with God in a different place. So great to see 32 men at the men's retreat morning last Saturday, engaging with God for a couple of hours. And I know God was meeting people. Be intentional. Secondly, just like Ian and Norma and Chris are doing, you know, journal what God's doing. Record it. I've just bought a book yesterday, a little notebook, and I'm just beginning to write down what God's saying to me each day as I go through the Lent passages. It's lovely to be able to go back and see what God's doing. And the first week of retreat that I have on my sabbatical, I'm going to actually take my journals of the last 7 years And I'm going to sit and I'm simply going to read through them and give thanks for where I need to give thanks, to reflect on stuff that I've perhaps forgotten about, and just to dwell in those. It's really powerful. Thirdly, find your special place. You know, where's the special place where you can just go and be? Jesus had a special place, the Mount of Olives. For the daily one, might be, you might be a chair. For me, it's that bench outside of church. It might be the chapel at church. You know, I'm going to get out and stop working in the chapel so you guys can come in and pray and use it. There may be different spaces for your daily, monthly, annual rhythms. People, places where you feel closest to God. And then finally, I'd say get into the habit of shutting off distractions. This is the little tiny bit I'm going to do on simplifying. You can read the other stuff on the mailing about simplifying. But I just want to say, so often I think we need to simplify. And part of that is shutting off the other voices, the TV, the social media, the friends and family, those voices which compete with God's voice. You know, I've done in the last couple of years, inspired by John Mark Comer, switched off all notifications on my phone apart from text messages. If you want to message me quickly, don't WhatsApp me, because the notification won't come up. Text me. I've recently taken Facebook completely off my phone. I'm not logged in anymore on my phone, and it saved me hours of endless waste of time scrolling. You know, shut off the distractions. Let's live differently, as Matthew 6 talks about, not living as the pagans do, but seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'm coming into land. Tyler Statton says in Praying Like Monks, he says, a brilliant chapter 2 on being still, and he says this. He says, many confuse stillness with waiting for revelation. Sometimes revelation does come, and it's marvelous, but that's not the purpose of stillness. The purpose is consent. It's the daily practice of consenting to the work of God's Spirit, which is deeper than understanding your words. It's how deep calls to deep from our souls to his. The practice of consenting to the work of God's Spirit. I love that phrase. So let's do it. Just like where you are, just to sit, and you might like to open your hands just to acknowledge your openness before God. We're just going to sit for a little time in stillness, and then you can carry on this stillness and silence during communion. But I'm going to read a couple of verses that God's led me to this week in Psalm 131, which are just lovely verses for this. My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful to me. But I've stilled and quietened my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Imagine yourself as a little weaned child on your parents' breast with their arms of love around you, and just dwell there with God. That's how he sees you. Let's take that silence into communion, and we're going to share the peace. And then take communion in a really gentle, quiet way, without loads of singing today. And I encourage you just to rest and sit and be still. There's also going to be opportunities, if you'd like to, after you've received communion at the front or the back, to just go and receive prayer. There's going to be hopefully some prayer ministers here and in the vestry, that if you walk through that door, there's a quieter place where you can just go and receive some prayer, or you might just want to just sit in your place. And continue that silence and allow God to meet you. So let's stand, first of all, and just share the peace. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, says the Lord, there I am I in the midst of them. Peace be with you and also with you. Share with one another a sign of the peace. And so we continue. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give thanks and praise. Lord of all life, you created the universe where all living things reflect your glory. You give us this great and beautiful earth to discover and to cherish. You give us sun and moon and starlit sky, everything that gives us light. Light for our eyes, our hearts, our minds. You made us all each wonderfully different to join with the angels and sing your praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And we thank you, loving Father, because when we turned away, you sent Jesus, your Son. He gave us life for us on the cross. And shows us the way to live. So send your Holy Spirit, that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us Christ's body and his blood. On the night before he died, when darkness had fallen, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, broke it, and shared it with his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this to remember me." And after they'd eaten, he took the cup of wine, he gave thanks and shared it with his disciples, saying, "This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." So, Father, with this bread and this cup, we celebrate his love, his death, his risen life. As you feed us with these gifts, send your Holy Spirit and change us more and more to be like Jesus, our Saviour. Help us, Father, to love one another as we look forward to that day when suffering is ended and all creation is gathered in your loving arms. And now, with all your saints, we give you glory through Jesus Christ in the strength of the Spirit today and forever. Amen. We're going to sing the Lord's Prayer now.
Father. Oh.
So we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. So let us share this special meal together. Let's remember Jesus died for us and rose again and is with us now. Let's draw close to God and to each other around God's table. And I'm just sensing God particularly wants to meet some of you in that issue of identity. Maybe some of you are struggling with identity and who the world thinks I am particularly and what the world thinks of you. And just more than anything in the silence and in the bread and the wine, Jesus wants to reinforce that just in you, that you are God's precious child and he deeply loves you and that's all you need to know. And maybe there's some too who just, God wants to realign your vision. You know your people pleasers. You know your tendency is to go and want to meet every need. And actually just maybe in the silence today, God wants to just say, this is what I've called you for. You don't need to do that. You don't need to meet that need. But this is what I've called you for. And just step into that and leave the rest to me. You know, if you want prayer about those things or anything, then please do come and just ask people to pray with you here or in the vestry or someone around you or just do your own business with God. But God wants to meet you in the bread and the wine. We'll have a station up the front which will serve gluten-free and non-alcoholic as well, and a station at the back which just does normal bread and wine. Come when you're directed, and if not, just be in that silent place with God and allow God to do his work in you.
So as we continue to do what we need to do with God, prayer will still be available after the service. Don't go home without having the prayer that you need. Also a reminder that there's a women's breakfast next Saturday. And if you're new to the church, please sign up for the mailing on the website. Let's just bring together the things that we've been thinking about this morning. And we pray for bringing us together in love. Thank you. For feeding us with your very self. Thank you. For the power of your spirit. Thank you. For sending us out in your love to change the world. Thank you. But only a little bit if we're overdoers. So let's stand and sing together our final hymn, In Christ Alone, our final song. Down when we started the service this morning, if it needs to stay here under God, then do go for prayer after the service. There's coffee in the hall, I think. There's coffee in the hall, women's breakfast next Saturday, waiting room on Wednesday, messy church on Thursday, and do sign up if you would like to find out what's going on in the church. It's on the website. So, The God of hope, fill us with all joy and peace in believing. Are you ready to go out into the world to share God's love with everyone? We're ready. Shall I say that again? Are you ready to go out into the world to share God's love with everyone? We're ready. Amen.